Hello and a warm welcome to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club on an action-packed weekend of racing. We're going to be looking at races from Haydock, Ascot and also over the RSG in Punchestown, where they've got two grade ones that we're going to spin over. As always, do get involved with the show, like, comment, share and subscribe. Let us know down in the comments who your best bet is this weekend. And as always, give that video a like. Almost 100 likes last week. Can we get there this week? Who's going to be joining me on today's panel? We have two of my Racing Post colleagues, one in which is Keith Melrose, back for another postcast. How are you, Keith?
I'm well, Sam. How are you?
Yeah, keeping well. It's going to be an interesting weekend of racing. There's been a lot of discussion throughout the week about jockey bookings and what kind of field sizes we're going to get. What have you made of the action this week?
Yeah, it's always one of my favourite weekends. In the past, I'd be at Haydock. I live not too far away, so I would always go to this meeting. They've replaced one of my favourite races on the card, unfortunately. There used to be a 3.5 mile chase on this card, if you remember, and they've changed it to a 2 mile one, which is not, I'm not terribly happy about, but it's still one of my favourite cards of the year, and there's loads on besides.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't agree. It's a really fantastic weekend. We see the likes of Shishkin, Brave Man's Game, Protector at Pick Dory. They're all out to play this weekend. Matt Rennie, looking forward to this weekend of racing?
Oh, very much so. You really feel like the jumps is now here proper. And it's a fun weekend for me as well. I think many of us remember that weekend in 2011, or that Saturday when Mastermind had won at Ascot, and then Corto Star brought the house down by winning the Betfair Chase at Haydock again. So it always is a classy weekend, even if the field sizes are a little bit disappointing. But it's the Betfair Chase. You've got two of the best chases in Britain going up against each other, and a Grand National winner. So what more could you want, really?
Absolutely. Like I say, we've got plenty to get through, so let's get right underway. And we start off at Haydock with the 1:15 there, which is a 2 mile, 3 furlong handicap hurdle, class 2 event, where Park Hill Dancer is the 4-1 favourite. Khan Funuk is 9-2. We're then looking at 6-1 about Fingo's Hill. We've got Pork Anas. Oh, God, the names are going to get me this week, aren't they? Anasiard is 7-1. We've got Luttrell Lad is 9-1. Double figures bar these. Let's just get straight into who the guys fancy. And we'll start with you, Matt. Who do you like in this?
Well, it's an easy one to pronounce, Sam. It's Fingo's Hill. It's a brilliant story, actually. So it's for a trainer who's a farmer by his main trade. He's only got two horses in training, and luckily one of these is Fingal's Hill, who comes here searching for a five-timer. I thought he was really taken on his reappearance at Carlisle. The ground looks like it's going to be in his favour, and he's only been risen £4 for it. And I think the analysis afterwards, the people were saying they thought he might have been raised to 130 afterwards and might have been struggling. So I think the handicap has given him one more chance, basically, in this one. And it'd be a really good human interest story for the trainer, Peter Atkinson, to strike on a big Saturday against the big boys with just one of his two horses in training. So I think he's got a very good chance in this race.
Okay, the Peter Atkinson trained Fingal's Hill. What a story that'd be. Currently 6-1 for Matt. Who are you with, Keith?
I'm not one for stories generally, but I definitely am with Fingal's Hill on this one. Just thinking, maybe not so much with the prices I'm seeing here, but he has in the past been a horse that's been underrated because of who trains him. You know, he was set up 9-1 for that race at Carlisle, which was his reappearance, and suggests that maybe, you know, either he wasn't thought quite ready, which would be understandable. You've only got one horse working with, or something else. But, you know, Peter Atkinson is something like 6 from 14, I've got the stats up here, since the start of last season with all his horses. So he is having a lot of success at those that do make the track. That run at Carlisle, to be honest, I thought Craig Nicol got caught napping. He jumped, he gave them a bit of a start. He fiddled two out, he fiddled the last, and he still got up and was going away at the finish. I thought he was actually valued for a little bit further. Very surprised he didn't go up more than the £4 he got. So yeah, I'm with Fingal's Hill.
Okay, both the gents in the Fingal's Hill camp in the opening race that we look at here on the postcast. Moving on now to the 1:50, which is the 2 mile, 5.5 furlong graduation chase. There, another class 2 event where Gaillard de Menil for the Willie Mullins stable tops the market 7-4. Grey Dawning is 2-1. Apple Away is 11-4. Scipion is 33-1, and Hardy Bloke is 66-1. Gaillard de Menil, Keith, a lot of people love this horse. Big, beautiful grey. Is he going to go and win this weekend?
He might do. He's probably the best horse in the race, and purely in what he's shown, but that's generally been over much longer trips. You know, he won at the festival last year. If you want to see a bad riding victory, you probably want to go back and watch that one. And then he always finished third in the national. This is 2-5. he's probably not going to be wound up. There'll be bigger days on his agenda. So the prices do make some allowance for that, but I would be I'd be maybe looking a little bit further down, and I'd maybe have a little tentative look at Appleaway, who looked so likeable last year. Obviously, she won the Sefton, following in the footsteps for a Hoisignor from the same stable. But she just looks like a really likeable horse. You translate that form up to fences with all the allowances she's getting, because remember, she's getting a stone in £4, £18 off Gaillard Dominiel. And once you allow for that, she's really not far off him at all if she just translates her hurdles form to fences at the first time of asking. It's quite a lot to like at 11-4.
Okay, Appleaway in the 150 for Keith. Who are you with here, Matt?
Yeah, it's an interesting race, really, because it seems like Mr. Mullins has found a golden opportunity to get Gaillard Dominiel off to a winning start. Obviously, a graduation chase is, I think you can't run in it unless you've won less than two times over fences. Obviously, his win last year came in a grade one chase, and he's also won at the Cheltenham Festival, and he's had 10 runs over fences. So he's got pounds of experience against his rivals, and, you know, whether you like these graduation chases or not, it's a really good opportunity for him. I agree with Keith and Appleaway. I'm really, really looking forward to seeing her go over fences this season. She's been entered a couple times already, and it was unfortunate Weatherby's, the first day of the Charlie Hall meeting, was scrapped because of the weather we had at the time. And she feels like she's been ready to go for a while now. Whether this is just short of her trip and she'll do better over further in time and for a run over fences, I'd see it in that way. And a few of Lucinda's first time out, you know, a Karat Rambler and a Hoisignor, haven't really shown much on their first outing, and they believe they're going to come on for the run. So I would be keen to chance Grey Dawning, really. Really good form last season as a novice hurdler, won the now defunct Leamington on Classic Chase Day at Warwick, beating Ginny's Destiny, who we saw score over fences at the November meeting at Cheltenham last week. And he did fall behind Appleaway in the Sefton at Aintree, which we can't really read anything into that. And I just thought dropping in trip might just suit him. So it's a tough one, but I just slightly irked towards Grey Dawning, obviously getting some weight from Gaillard Dominiel as well, getting £11 from Gaillard Dominiel. So maybe that could prove to be the decisive difference.
Okay, the Skeletons with Grey Dawning there in the 150 for Matt. The 220 is a handicap hurdle. It's a stayers handicap hurdle, just over 3 miles here, a class one event. And here we go, Crambo and Slate Lane, 7-2, top of the market. Slate Lane, Paul Burnone, top of the market in a handicap hurdle. Who would have thought it? Lord Snooty, 7-1. Dubrovnik Harry's, 10-1. Bold Endeavour and Fine Margin, 12-1. 14-1 and bigger the rest. This race here really does show off how long a straight Haydock is and the running at Haydock, Matt. This is a race made for a stay. You see someone flying home late in a race like this. Who's it going to be this year?
Yeah, it's been a bit of cracker in the past. Obviously, it was a race that launched both Sam Spinner and Paisley Park onto stardom in the stayers division. And, well, the vibes around Fergal O'Brien's Crambo, as I'm sure people will find out on the Racing Post soon with a story with part owner Chris Giles, is very, very strong. And he's confident that Crambo will develop into a live stayers hurdle contender this season. I was really taken by what he did on his comeback at Aintree. Obviously, not ideal when they were missing a few of the hurdles, but he showed, I thought, he had a super engine there. There were excuses for his big, bitter disappointment in the Challow last season, and I thought he was really good to win the novice hurdle final at Sandown. I'm a little bit worried on pedigree if 3 miles and these trips are really what he wants, because he hasn't got much 3 miles staying in his pedigree, in my opinion, anyway. But I just think he's the vibes around him are that he's a really, really good progressive horse. And if they're going down the stay, they're thinking the stayers hurdle route in time. We know it's a good benchmark and a race, as we've seen with Sam Spinner and Paisley Park. I think it's a weaker running than most previous ones we've had. We also saw what Botox Haar obviously won it last season for Gary Moore, and he's gone on to win at Graded Company this season at Weatherby. And I think it is a bit of a weaker running, but, you know, It's between the top two in the market, and you never know what you're going to get with Slate Lane. And obviously the owner, Paul Byrne, incredibly shrewd. Didn't work out for the owner last week in the Greatwood when only a matter of time decided it was only going to be a matter of time before he decided to demolish one of the wings of a hurdle. But even his new St Abbott form of Slate Lane beat Tommy Bowe, who's turned into a bit of a star in the regional national chases division for the last couple of seasons, won the Southern National last Sunday. So I think it's between the top two, and I'd be just inclined to go with Crambo.
Okay, just with Crambo for Matt. Yeah, it's an interesting one. The owner saying this could be a potential live stay as hurdle contender, and you can probably see why, Keith. It's not the best division in the world, is it?
No, it's not. Never is the stairs hurdle. There's only ever there only ever tends to be one good horse in there, because if you'd rather chance your arm at being a 3 mile chaser than be the second best staying hurdler. So a lot of horses tend to go and do that instead. So it does tend to be that sort of division. Interesting that Crambo doesn't go over fences, sort of bred to make a chaser. And most of the horses that come out of that EBF finally won at Sandown in March, they tend to go that way. So yeah, he's an interesting horse, as is Slate Lane. But there's another sort of trope almost that's been overlooked in this race, and we've got Fine Margin down there, who needs to definitely prove what he's got in terms of stamina, although he's bred to stay really well. He's from a family that's got Dundera in there and all sorts of good horses and good stayers. And this horse has gone from Matthew Daly, who isn't a trainer I'm aware of, but he's no Peter Atkinson. You know, he's according to his record I've seen on the site, he's never had a winner from going back 20 years, and all of a sudden he's ended up with Willie Mullins, Fine Margin. It's his first start for Mullins. This horse is going to go one of two ways. You know, you can back him as we're recording this at 12 to 1. He's going to go with either 9 to 2 or 25s. And I've decided to have a little bit on him in the hope that it's the former, because, you know, that is such a positive stable change, and the horse has got such a good background behind him that I thought it was worth taking a chance. You know, this is not as Matt's sat there and rattled off the horses of the good horses that have won this in recent years. It's not even the race it was. Back in the old, you had horses like Punchestown's winning this race. You had horses like Grand Cru winning this race. This used to be one of the most competitive handicap hurdles of the whole winter. It's not that level anymore. And, you know, you wouldn't have gotten the weights off 1-2-4, I think, back in its heyday. But Fine Margin just looks to be a horse that, certainly monitor him in the market. I mean, I've already had that little bit of 12s, and this is going to be a real springer to tell you exactly how much he's fancied on his first start for Mullins, when, you know, people take the Paul Burnell at Mullins thing as the default. But why wouldn't this angle be even stronger?
Okay, yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I think, yeah, look, Brian Hayes takes a ride for Willie Mullins there. It will be one that definitely either goes off shorter or goes off bigger. It's as simple as that. But 12 to 1 may end up being value ahead of Saturday. Moving on to the big one there at Haydock, it's the Betfair Chase at 3 o'clock over 3 mile, 1.5 furlongs. Four runners take their chance in this Grade 1 event. Brave Man's Game is the even money favourite. Protector at last year's winners, 2-1. Royal Pagai is 9-1. And Corak Rambler, the Grand National winner, is 11-1. Is this a two-horse race, Keith, with the top two in the market? Or can you make a case for Royal Pagai or Corak Rambler?
I can't particularly. Corak Rambler's got so much to find to get up to this level. It doesn't strike me as a sort of horse that's going to suit small fields either. You know, he's won big field handicaps and he throws his head in the air. So that doesn't tell me of a horse that's going to be most at home in little field races. Royal Pagai as well, he was all set to go for the Coral Gold Cup until recently. So it's not been his plan A all the way through this summer and autumn the way it has been for Protecting It, for Definite. There is no question. This will have been the one race circled in his diary for the entire season. Brave Man's Game, we can see the same thing about in terms of what his big day is, because I mean, we've had all this hoo-ha this week about Harry Cobden going to Ascot instead. Isn't Harry Cobden going to Ascot instead because he's going for the jockey's title? That's not been mentioned.
I agree with you. I didn't make as much of it as everyone else did. I think you're completely right, Keith. He's going for the jockey start and he's going to get some decent rides at Ascot on Saturday.
I think what happens now is what a lot of our colleagues that are saying about the human interest story, they're all journalists, really, and they all want to see stories. And sometimes the stories aren't there, and I don't think it is there in this instance, to be honest. Brave Man's Game's big day is the King George. Everything before the King George is working up to the King George. You know, it's been this race above all others for Protectorate all the way through. This is his day. There's no other race for him. And I just think he's definitely the better of the prices.
Okay, yeah, Protectorate 2-1. Interesting Dan Skelton's comments about his runners and, you know, having them sort of fit first time out. Are they going to be fully fit? Just a quick word, Keith. Does that worry you at all with Skelton coming out of a comment like that with this horse or not?
If Skelton could have had one horse absolutely hard fit for the life first time up and he could pick one from his yard, who it would be, I'm telling you exactly who it would be. Be protected it. So I'm not really that worried.
Okay, no, it's all Protectorate 2-1. Matt, are you in agreement here? Please tell me you like one at the top or do you like two at the bottom?
I'm absolutely in agreement with Protectorate. I think he's one of the prices. I think he's one of the best bets of the weekend. And, you know, it's the cliche thing, as Keith touched on, this is his Gold Cup, really. There is nothing else for him for the rest of the season. The many clouds chase has gone now, so he won't be going to there afterwards. All eyes, and I spoke to Dan in a press conference last week. He said all eyes are just firmly on the Betfair chase. We saw what he did last year, obviously, beating El Dorado Allen. He might need lots more to beat Braveman's game, but he beat him with such authority. And I wouldn't really read much into Dan's comments about, you know, his form. I know everyone likes a horse to win first time out, but his strike rate, I did a bit of digging into data last week, and his strike rate is only a little bit more down than it was at this time last year. It's not as if it's drastically out of form and everyone's running bitterly disappointing. So I just think it's all for him, Protector, as you said. I am one of the colleagues that there was all the hoo-ha around Harry Cobden, but I didn't believe it either. You know, you're right, he's absolutely trying to cut back in Sean Bowen's lead at the title, and he's got more winning rides, more live chances at Ascot, and he's thinking, here we go, four winners possibly at Ascot, a lot more prize money in the bag than has the joy of coming back onto Braveman's game when he'll be primed for his life in the King George at Christmas time. So I was, you know, a lot of people were saying Braveman's game would have won, you know, the Charlie Hall on his reappearance had he not made that blunder at the last. But I've been a person that's sort of, it's been hard to persuade me to really like Braveman's game. The other time I thought, oh, here we go, I actually misread him, and I was one of the ones that thought he might not finish his races as well as he does. But the only time I was sort of changed that was after his brilliant run in the Gold Cup. And also, you know, he ran a stormer at Punchestown, and he just, at Wetherby, just going into that last couple of furlongs, he didn't feel like the same horse, or to me, he didn't look like the same horse that he was last season. And you will always have that nagging doubt in the back of your mind that the Cheltenham Gold Cup, it was a brilliant, brilliant spectacle, but it's a graveyard for taking so much out of horses. We've seen it with Aplutard in the past. You know, Milella Indo has never been the same since his Gold Cup victory. You know, Albin Foto, you could even say since his first one, you know, he won his second one in a row narrowly, but still never really the same horse. So there is that nagging doubt in my mind. Whereas, you know, he's going into Protectorat's playground here, and I think he's going to be facing someone that's primed to get a very, very winnable grade one into his bag. You know, it's really disappointing, obviously, the field sizes and the fact there's a graduation chase on here. We could have had Gaillard de Menil running in it, which I thought would have been quite a fascinating angle if they'd went for it. But they've obviously gone for the far easier option. I think the bottom two are miles off it when it comes to needing a grade one victory. I agree with Keith on Karat Rambler. He just does not like a small field. So I don't think he will be have the improvement required to step up. So I'm a big, big fan of Protectorat, and I think he's the one that is going to win. I'd be that confident to say.
I defend the race in sort of abstract. You know, we talk about small fields. It's always been small fields, but I was looking through the stats just recently because I'm writing the analysis for the paper on this sort of in between doing this, and there's far fewer odds on shots in this race than you'd think for a race that only ever attracts four or five runners. You know, Aplutard last year is the only odds on favourite there's been in the race for about a decade. Wow. You know, it's a race that you don't get depth, but you get the right horses. You know, the fact there's only two of the right horses is maybe a wider point that we touch on quite a lot, but always a dead competitive race, much harder to solve than small fields would suggest. And it is a fantastic race, but it is, as we've both been saying, a little bit exists in its own vacuum. The same way the King George does and the same way the Gold Cup does. You know, we talk about Kempton horses going to Cheltenham and have been doing for, well, before I was born, frankly, you know. So the Betfair Chase is just another part of that. And defending champions that have been underrated in the race in the past, and I think we've got another.
Yeah, and I think kudos to Paul Nicholls, Brian Drew as well for actually bringing Braveman's game to the Betfair Chase soon after the Charlie Hall. You know, the Charlie Hall was only at the start of this month, and they've looked at it and thought, yeah, there's a real opportunity here to give, you know, they're giving the viewers a great spectacle against Protectorat, but it might turn into a match. But if it wasn't, if we didn't have Braveman's game, we'd have a three-runner grade one where Protectorat was miles clear, yet he was still comprehensively beaten by the best of the best in the Gold Cup, and we'd be going, it's a substandard grade one. So massive credit for them to take him on. It's what we want to see, and it's good campaigning, whether he wins or loses.
I wonder if part of the reason he's running here, actually, is because of what happened a little bit at Wetherby. he looked like such an unfit horse the way he didn't see that race out after the last. I mean, he did hit it as well. It's not out of the question, Nicholls thought, this horse needs another run before Kempton.
Well, we'll wait and see this Saturday. It honestly is a fascinating spectacle. Really looking forward to that at 3 o'clock from Haydock. Both gents fancy Protectorat in the big one there. Final race we look at quickly is the 3:35 there at Haydock. It's a handicap chase, just over 3 miles here. Famous Bridge is 7-2. Credo's 5-1. Doc Picked Me is 6-1. Eleanor Bob is 9-1. Also, Wastel Dundalk is 9-1. 10-1 and bigger about the rest of them. We've got plenty more races to cover, gents. We'll move swiftly through this. Matt, who do you like?
Yeah, well, one of my horses that I've been tracking for quite a while has been Famous Bridge. I'd still be with him at the moment. I think the price is a little bit skimpy at the moment at 3-1. I thought it was a terrific return at Ayr. I know he was meant to go to Wetherby for a premier handicap chase on the defunct Charlie Hall first day. And they had to quickly reroute him to Ayr the next day. I thought he ran a good race. I thought he got in tight to the last, and then he had a horse fall back onto him in the final stages and kept on really well for fourth. I think he's tailor-made for 3 miles, I think, as his Wetherby win showed last season. And I'm glad they're going back up in trip with him here. He's also got a very good pedigree. He's related to Tell Me Something Girl, who's obviously a very classy horse, winning at the Cheltenham Festival a couple of years ago. And he's just sort of a really likeable Trevor Hemmings horse, and in Nicky Richards, he's got a good trainer. You know, he thrives with these type of horses, and he's been at a 25% stride rate in the last fortnight, so he's hitting form at a really good time as well.
Yeah, well supported. Famous Bridge 7-2 currently for the 3:35 there. Keith, who are you with in the last race we look at from Haydock?
Famous Bridge is a horrible one for me. He's a talented but untrustworthy, and therefore I'm going to have to try and sort of avoid him. He looks like one of those horses that doesn't. He always looks really good early in the season, doesn't always come through. And I'm going to take a bit of a risk in this race. I know I said at the top about the 3.5 mile chase has been lost. This is still this race coming in with a top weight £10 below the ceiling, which shows it's quite a weak renewal. Very weak race for 50 grand, really. And I think the fact it's worth 50 grand won't have been lost in the connections of Sidi Ishmael, who's got a really good record of offences since he started off for David Pipe. You know, he's won the Lincolnshire National on Boxing Day, and on his last two starts last year, turned up at Taunton, just knotted out of it by Bangers and Cash, and then turned up and finished second to Truckers Lodge, who was chucked in and being ridden by Freddie Ginger when I think Freddie was claiming 7 still back then. So, you know, that's hard task to face there. The horse has only been nudged up £1 for that. He's just a slowly progressive horse that's getting there with every run. And as you mentioned earlier, the big long straight at Haydock is going to suit him really well. You know, he's a horse that stays 3.5 well, but he's not necessarily slow. Market reasons are quite a tight track. And if the ground was going to be softer than it looks like being, I'd be really, really strong on Sidi Ishmael. With it looking like it might tend towards the good to soft, still really fancy him. He was nearly nap material. If I could guarantee soft ground, he would have just about been nap material.
Okay, Sidi Ishmael in the final race from Haydock for Keith. So there's Haydock all done and dusted. Racing Postcards is currently sponsored by Members Club. 50% off your first 3 months. We're going to be looking at Ascot shortly after this. Welcome back to the Racing Postcast, brought to you by Racing Post Members Club with me, Sam Hart, Keith Melrose and Matt Rennie. We move to Ascot for just the 3 races we're going to be looking at on ITV there. The first of which is the 1:30, which is the 1965 chase, a grade 2 over 2 mile, 5 furlong. Shishkin tops the market at 4-6, Pick Dory 2-1, Manila Drama 12-1 and Straw Fan Jack is the outside of the 4 at 40-1. Kind of a similar look to it as the Betfair chase in some ways here, Keith. 4 runners, you've got not a too short a price in Shishkin, you've got a rival in Pick Dory, and then you've got a bit of a jump to the last two. Is this another one where we could have a 2-horse race?
I think so. I mean, I can't see Manila Drama or Straw Fan Jack really making much of an impression here with these two good horses in it. And the horse that makes that the case is Pick Dory. He puts a floor on what's going to be required here. You know, Shishkin could batter him by 16 lengths again like he did in the Ascot chase back in February there. Or Shishkin could just blow up and, you know, he's a bit of a law unto himself, Shishkin. And in races like this, it's a case of, do you try and get him beat? I am I think, look, I've got this horse wrong every run since he won the Supreme, to be honest. So you maybe don't want to listen to me. But for me, it's his maybe first time out. Is it maybe the time you want to get him beat? You know, he looked so laboured this time last year when he ran in the Tingle Creek. Maybe he was still injured and carrying on that hangover from the end of the previous season when he'd had rare bone condition, wasn't it? But, you know, maybe first time out is the time to try and catch him and get him beat, and you've got a really solid horse to do it and pick Doherty. I'm not absolutely vehement in this, but I'm mildly inclined towards backing Pick Doherty at 2-1. He's such a likeable horse that clearly handles the track and goes about things very well.
Yeah, Pick Doherty, Harry Cobden, he's there. We know he's there, and he's there for plenty of decent rides. Could this be one of them? Pick Doherty currently 2-1. Interesting, Matt Shishkin, cheek pieces for the first time. And is he an idea of an outsider for a Gold Cup down the air at the end of the season?
God, well, he's looking slow with every race he runs in, isn't he?
He does, yeah.
Possibly so. I mean, given the way he did it, staying on at Aintree, you have to put him in the Gold Cup mix. But I have my own thoughts on that one. I thought Hoisin Your sort of fell away a little bit when he gifted his chance away. But Shishkin in every run is looking like he needs a trip more and more. The cheek pieces are fascinating. You know, it's a fascinating addition. I didn't even realise they were on until this morning when I looked at the final declarations. And that possibly comes from, you know, at Cheltenham, he was the banker for a British banker for a lot of people, and he was really lazy and lackadaisical for a lot of the race, and then belted the third last, but then stayed up really, really well. So he's a character that's obviously not got all of his focus on what's going on in front of him in between the white rails, and he does what he wants to do. So maybe they're thinking now he's getting into his sort of the prime sort of age for stayers, really, 9 turning 10. Sort of one more chance to really go and show his high class tendencies and give him a go. So stick the cheek pieces on to really sharpen him up and get a win under him for the King George. But I'm with Keith in this one. I'll tentatively lean towards Pick Doherty. It's given the similar vibes to, you know, this Altior versus Surname Mark II, really, isn't it? But on a bit of a lesser build up and scale. And I think it'd be a really tactical race. I wonder what Harry Cobden would do on Pick Doherty. Because I've thought Pick Doherty, this is his prime trip, these intermediate trips, for, in my opinion. And whether Harry sort of dictates the race from the front, does he slow it up, then try and get away from Shishkin use the speed to get away from Shishkin? Because we saw last year, he was a bit more of a relentless galloper in his wins rather than having that brilliant speed. If he can do that, I think he could go close, but, you know, he's got 16 lengths to bind on Shishkin from the Ascot Chase off level weights. So it's puzzling. It's a really puzzling race, but I just lean with Pick Doherty to get Cobden off to a good start at Ascot.
No, Cobden doesn't need my advice. He's you know, if he's not the best jockey in the country, he's second to Sean Bowen. But I think you'd have to go out a bit briskly. You can't do Shishkin for speed. We've seen that, you know, even at Ascot, his turn of foot is actually really, really good. We saw it when he won a Desert Orchid not that long ago. If you're going to get Shishkin beat, you're going to get him to dog it, basically, because that's what he did in the Ryanair. I've not heard any convincing argument against that. You get him to spit it out, and you get him to spit it out by going kind of hard at it as soon as you want to, and getting him uncomfortable from an early stage. That's what I'd be doing, because I think is you blow Shishkin's brains, that's how you beat him.
Right, it's going to be another interesting race, there's no doubt about it, but both gents tentatively with Pick Doherty in the 1965 Chase. We now move on to a race, the 205 there at Ascot, the Coral Hurdle, a grade 2 over just shy of 2.5 miles. And here he is, he's back. Goshen is 9-4 favourite, Fear to Glory 3-1, Sco Royale is 5-1, Blue King Daroo is 11-2, and Strong Leader is 6-1. They're all in here with a decent chance according to the betting. What are we going to get with Goshen this time around? It's going to be an interesting one with Niall Houlihan taking the ride instead of Jamie Moore. Obviously, Jamie wishing him all the best after his nasty incident at Lingfield the other day. But Niall is a really talented jockey. I don't know how he's going to play this. I speak to Niall on a regular basis, but I don't know how he's going to deal with this. Keith, with this horse, do you just let him get on with things and just hope for the best?
Houlihan might, because Niall Houlihan has made his name riding a very different horse very well. You know, Sarah de Grugy is the horse that's his main ride, and he's a very straightforward, quite keen front-running chaser, and Goshen's not quite the same as that, albeit he's very talented and very fast. So you might be tempted to go and do things that way. You seemingly would know better than me if you know Houlihan personally. I think the doubts about Goshen are built into the price here, to be quite honest. He's miles better than everything in the race except So Royal, who got outstayed even in a much less testing 2.5 miles in the National Spirit at Fontwell. So Royal's always at the 2 mile and he hasn't looked anything different in recent times. So Goshen has got a big class edge. His doubts are factored into the price in a way that they're not, I don't think, with horses like Shishkin and Brave Man's Game. So of the three supposed shorties on the telly races this week, I think Goshen's the one I'd be most likely to back.
I'm in complete agreement with you as well, Keith. I mean, obviously what happened on the flat at Newmarket wasn't ideal, but this horse back over hurdles going right-handed at Ascot, I think Niall will just let him, he'll just let him go, I think, and I think we'll just see this horse try and beat what, like you say, Keith, are probably inferior rivals to him. Matt, what's your take on this race?
Yeah, well, it seems like every time I'm on, it's Goshen's running that week and you'll eventually nap him up. But look, it's a funny one, really. I don't think it's the best grade two in the world. I think we can all agree with that. So it'd be a prime opportunity for Goshen to get another big race under his belt. I mean, the big worry I've had is anyone, you know, the ground at the minute at Ascot is good to soft. And I don't think there's so much rain in the forecast. And whether Goshen, as he gets older, is he becoming a bit more ground dependent, really? It's a funny one. I was going to read into that into Fontwell, and then I realised Fontwell's left-handed, and Goshen, we all know what happens when Goshen goes left-handed. He was more likely to end up in the English Channel than winning down there. It probably is his race to lose. I would be inclined to take just a little sort of gamble on Blue Kangaroo for Harry Cobden Nichols and the Delahayes again. I think he's a really likeable horse who's just thrived since his wind operation last season. Obviously, he won at 50-1 at the track in April, and the form that hasn't really worked brilliantly since. Neither has the finishing second punctuation in a big race at Aintree at the Grand National meeting. But I really like the way he ran on his return at Cheltenham a couple of weeks or last month. And they could have gone for the Great Wood Hurdle, but they're spying up a really good opportunity here to pick up a lot more prize money. And, you know, he's a funny one. I've never got Shishkin on a going day, and I've never got Goshen on a going day. So I'm gonna take a step back from those two and put in my faith in them. And I'll have a little bit on Blue Kangaroo to see if he can step up to this level, because I think, you know, it's a good opportunity to do so, really. It's a poor grade two on paper, which is a shame because it's been a great race in the past, you know, winners like Rock on Ruby and that down the line. So, and Faheen, obviously can't forget Faheen or Annie Powell.
I just about remember a day when a time when this was the big race on this day, pre-Betfair Chase, because the 1965 Chase never used to be all that. This used to be Ascot Hurdle Day about 20 years ago. And now look at it. It's probably the fourth or fifth most important race in the day.
It is. It's not the best race, like Matt said. And I completely forgot, Matt, last time that we were on together that I put up Goshen for the Cesarich and he fell out the back of the telly. But
at least we know now why you always nap him, because you've got links to the Muiryard. That's why you're always napping him, isn't it?
I mean, I was famous on social media probably about four years ago of a T-shirt that just was like the leader of the Goshen fan club. I absolutely love this horse. And then he went into Cheltenham and did what he did in the Triumph. And I'm still with him. He's still the boy. And I think he could go in again. But we're going to wait and see this Saturday. But a fascinating contest nonetheless. We've got one more race to look at Ascot, which is the 3:15 there, which is a 2 mile, 1 furlong handicap chase. It's a class two event where Boot Hill off top weight, 12 stone, 5-2 favourite. St. Segal is 5-1. Corrigan Rock is 11-2. Fred Arms is 13-2. Triple Trade also 13-2. Orkin Risk is 9-1. Fernambo Savola is 14-1. And Melistic is 28-1. This would be a hell of a feat for a horse like Boot Hill, Matt, to win off 12 stone. 5-2 favourite. If he were to win a race like this, how good a horse are we potentially dealing with?
Well, I think we know we're dealing with a potentially very good horse anyway, given he was a grade two winner he was a grade two winner last year as a novice chaser, but he also won this race last year as well and did it from the front in really gutsy fashion. It's pretty clear to see that Ascot is where he loves the most. And there has been talk, you know, they're looking at grade one targets with him down the line in the division where it's sparse, really. El Fabiolo and John Bon, you know, touch wood, they stay fit because if one of them goes, then, you know, the next standard bearer would be Boot Hill, which, you know, he might step up to that level in time, but feels a little bit off it then. And it's really good to see him running back at Ascot in off a big way. I think he can do it. I thought he was mightily impressive last time, and all the vibes there. It's all going to fall straight back into his favour again. It's, you know, eight runners. It's a trappy little contest, and I think, you know, he could take this on the way to maybe running the Desert Orchid over Christmas time at Kempton. That would be, you know, he won the Wayward Lad Nonsense Chase last year. After winning this race, so that would be sort of the logical step. I just think he's got the best form in the race, really. You know, one I looked at and thought maybe an each way shout for Saint Seagal. He's, you know, I've quite liked him for a while, and he's still, I think, really unexposed over fences and drying ground. The tack ground might bring out the best in him. I thought he did well enough on his reappearance against Boot Hill, and he's got plenty to find to beat him. But, you know, his best RPR, well, not his best RPRs, but some of his best winning runs have come on that sort of good, soft ground. And he might just run a nice race. But I think Boot Hill, I think he can do it off a heavy, heavy weight. Obviously, I hope so, because our boy up here in the north, the real whacker, couldn't do it off a welterweight last week. So, which is a shame to see, but hopefully Boot Hill can go off that top weight.
Okay, Boot Hill 5-2 currently. Yeah, like I say, top weight. It will be a hell of a display to do it once again. Keith, what did you make of this? I know Saint Seagal's been on a lot of people's lists as a tracker horse. Hasn't quite gone in yet, but there is going to be a day, isn't there?
There will be a day. I hope it might be this one. I'll be interested to see how they ride him, actually. Last time, he was third in the Boot Hill race, beat six lengths, and he's getting a £7 pool now. As you would expect, they're handicapped to finish very close to each other because they ran against each other last time. The ride last time on St. Seagal was totally different to anything I've seen on that horse before, you know, far more aggressive. It was his first run after wind surgery. Just had the faint vibe to me of a make sure he has a good blow and gets fit sort of ride to me. And I think he's got more potential to come on for that run than Boot Hill would have. Boot Hill got ridden to best effect in that race. And St. Seagal, who's got he's got a pool to be very closely matched and more potential to go on. So at double the price, I'm very much with him. It's actually quite an open race, so it won't be a particularly big betting race for me, but good chance this is the Saint Seagal day, so he's the one that'll be top of my list.
Okay, Saint Seagal, I'd say 5-1 currently. That's all the action in Britain covered. We've been working on the Racing Post app to bring you enhanced race cards as well at the moment, and here's what we've done.
You spoke, we listened. Introducing Race Cards Redefined. 3 brand new and unique race cards tailored for your needs. Our new and improved standard race card is the punter's favourite and is everything you need to make your selection. Get the maximum amount of information in the palm of your hand with Expert View. Cover all areas and get all the same information as our newspaper. With Compact View, you can make a quick decision on who to back. View more runners and more odds on one race. Which race card will you choose?
Welcome back to the final part of the Racing Postcast with Sam Hart, Keith Melrose and Matt Rennie. We move over the Irish Sea now for two Grade 1s, one of which is on Saturday and one of which is on Sunday, which is going to be more of an anti-post look at. But the 2:35 at Punchdown on Saturday is the Unibet Morgiana Hurdle, Grade 1 over just over 2 miles, where State Man is the 3-1 on favourite. Pied Piper is 7-1. Echoes in Rain 15-2. And Phil Dudary is the outsider at 40-1. We don't need to spend long on this, gents, due to the price. I think we're probably going to all be in agreement that State Man will just win this. So, Keith, how good is State Man now, and how close do we think he could get to Constitution Hill come Champion Hurdle Day?
I can't see him getting much closer than he did before. As long as Constitution Hill stays sound, Constitution Hill is what makes this race so boring. Because State Man's winning it, and until Constitution Hill shows any weakness, so what? You're racing for second behind him. So, you know, it's probably the worst race we'll cover this weekend. It'd be good to see State Man out. He would be the sort of horse that, if he was winning Champion Hurdles, would be sort of decrying a relatively moderate division, but he would be a viable Champion Hurdle winner of a moderate division, which is what it is behind Constitution Hill. I hope, for the sake of seeing one of the best horses, possibly the best hurdler I've ever seen, Constitution Hill. I hope for his sake, and the sake of us as viewers, that State Bad never gets near a champion hurdle.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. I understand that. One thing that was asked by DJ on Up in the Ante this week, and I'll ask both of you this, but I'll start with you, Keith, is out of the two Willie Mullins kind of champion hurdle contenders, we could call them, in State Man and Pere Pass, who will finish closer to Constitution Hill?
I think your Pere Pass is a better horse than State Man, just.
Okay, yeah, interesting. I mean, obviously it's not a selection of any sort, but it's interesting to hear the opinions. And Matt, what did you make of this race, and what would your opinions be on that that question?
Yeah, well, it's a race that isn't going to live long in the memory, is it? It might turn into a glorified, you know, piece of work for State Man. He is similar to last year. It was, and for a few years, to be honest with you, the Morgiana has been a bit of an uninspiring grade one to watch. He's a lovely horse, State Man, you know, but we all know he's miles off of it when compared to Constitution Hill. I mean, the calendar, obviously, in Ireland, the fixture list has changed this year. You know, next weekend, well, after watching this, so the first weekend in December, will be Hatton's Grace Hurdle Day, and obviously, Imperio Pass is being aimed at that one. So it's a shame, you know, they can't clash in this one. We wouldn't get an early season clash in this one, and we probably wouldn't have done anyway. I'd be similarly inclined. So I think Imperio Pass, looking at it, is going to be a better horse, and he has a higher ceiling already that the State Man doesn't. The thing is with Constitution Hill is with Imperio Pass, we can't really get really enthused about, you know, what we've got in front of us with Imperio Pass. It would have been nice if he turned up and say Imperio Pass absolutely smashed State Man, and then we're going, oh, hang on,
yeah,
we've now got a real contender on Constitution Hill, if he did what, you know, Constitution Hill did to State Man in the champion hurdle. I just think, you know, it's Constitution Hill just makes this division look weak, as Keith said, and it's going to be a glorified gallop. You know, we know what Pied Piper can do. We know he's well off grade one company as a jumper. You know, he ran a good great race in the Cesarex last time round. Echoes in Rain, you know, lovely horse, but she's a bit in and out and might be better over further in time. You'd think the Punchestown Mares champion hurdle will be a big day in the sun again this season. You know, it's going to be another grade one for State Man, but and it's a shame we can't get any more runners, but that's just the way of the division is when you've got a Goliath like Constitution Hill in it.
Absolutely. Look, let us know down in the comments, viewers, who you'd be with to finish second to Constitution Hill, in Pere Pass or State Man. See if we can get a load of different opinions in the comments. Let's move on to Sunday now for the grade one on Sunday. It's the 2:30 there, which is the John Durkin Memorial Punchestown Chase, grade one. Just shy of 2.5 miles. Galloping the Champ tops the market at 9-4 on. Fast or Slow is 9-2. Blue Lord 8-1. Appreciate It is 14-1. Conflated 14-1. Asterion Falange 16. Statler 25. Farouk Delenz 33s. And French Dynamite also 33-1. Matt, another one where actually, are we going to get a glorified gallop here? Or could this be a little bit of a test with what Fast or Slow did towards the back end of last season?
It could, and if I was going on the lines of, you know, I've said Brave Man's Game, I'm still unsure about how well he is after a brilliant Gold Cup last season, then you've got to apply the same to Galopin de Champs. Obviously, both of them turned over by Fast or Slow in the Punchestown Gold Cup in April at the end of last season. Obviously, I'm a bit concerned with Fast or Slow, looking at his record first time out. Obviously, last year, 21 lengths behind Galopin de Champs in this race when it was in its previous slot in December. Before that, in 2021, 243-day break and finished 19.5 lengths beaten in a handicap hurdle at Leopardstown. You know, he's also a horse that needs a run, as well as Galopin de Champs needs a run. And I don't think Galopin would need to be at his absolute best. He probably needs to be about 60% at his best to win this race. I think Fast Slow is a lovely horse. I think he'd probably be better over further, but he's still not in the same league as Galopin de Champs. And then you're looking down at the rest of them, Conflated probably won't turn up. It's going to all be about the Savills Chase at Leopardstown with him. And I thought he ran a stormer in the Champion Chase at Down Royal. And, you know, I pray to God that they don't go down the cross-country route with him, because he's still a grade one horse. I mean, and then you're looking at Blue Lord, who you think very, very classy and did win over 2.5 miles last season in the Clonmel Oil Chase. But the worst run of his season came at this intermediate trip in the Ryanair. So it's all pointing towards Galopin de Champs is just a class above, and you can't make really any case for many in behind. I know there's a few people that love to see Fast and Slow win, but I do think it was just a fluke at the Punchestown Gold Cup.
Okay. Yeah, look, in agreement there, Keith, it could be a simple one where we just agree and move on.
Probably is just about that. You know, we want to see the value of that Punchestown form. So many proper, like, Twilight Zone bits of form you see at that Punchestown Festival, don't you? And you just don't know where that one sits in the grand scheme of how made up it is. The handicap are still got £11 between them. So, you know, they're obviously, we're not taking it at face value. It'd be nice to see Faster Slow actually develop into a proper Gold Cup horse. But I think if Gallop and Deschamps runs to the same level he did when he won this race last year, from Fakir Duderi, he'll win this anyway. He'd beat Faster Slow's best, probably, with that sort of performance. So yeah, Gallop and Deschamps, I would imagine.
Okay, Gallop and Deschamps for both the gents. Really exciting to see some good horses out this weekend. There's loads of them on show. And as Matt said at the start, the jump season is well and truly underway now. There is loads of action, so there must be some other stuff that we should focus on, any other selections from the gents before we get into the naps. Keith, I'll start with you. Anything else we should be focusing on?
Yeah, I've got a nap that's elsewhere, but I've also got one other bet that's not on the telly. It's in at Haydock, but it's not one of the telly races. 12:40, the 2 mile handicap chase that has replaced the marathon that was on the same card. They put in Real Stone as favourite. Horse that's got loads of ability, but just keeps looking a little bit on that line between quirky and ungenuine. And it's a competitive race behind. The bet in the race at the current prices is Cheddleton, who's got really good form. He was second in the Castleford last year behind Malistic, and he's actually £4 lower now, having not run over fences since, which just seems a bit strange to me. And he ran in Fingal's Hills race at Carlisle last time, 2.5 miles, which is far enough for this horse anyway. And he jumped the second last, I think, still on the bridle. Maybe it was the third last, still on the bridle, got dead tired, finished well, beat in the end. Clearly just a run to get him fit, hopefully for this race, and I can see him going really well, with the very slight caveat that I watched Daily Tigers run last time. It was over 3 mile 1, far too far for him. If there's money for him, I'll have a saver, because he's so well handicapped now. But Cheddleton is a horse I'll back Friday night or whenever the prices sort of come out and get matured, but with that little eye on Daily Tiger for when the for if the money comes on Saturday. And then I've got another one away, which is my nap, so I'll save that one.
Absolutely, leave that one till the end. So it's Cheddleton, it's 3-1 in the 12:40 there at Haydock on Saturday. Matt, is there anything else that you want to look at, or are you just on the nap?
No, I think there's some races at Punchestown on Saturday. They're actually really, really intriguing. You know, there's that half an hour gap where you've got Gaelic Warrior making his chasing debut. We now know where he's going. Everyone thought he was going to go down the stairs route. They're chucking him over fences instead. And then you've got a really good novice chase, the Florida Pearl, over 3 miles at 1:23. And I think, you know, Flooring Porter's running in this one, but you have to be a really brave man to back him going right-handed. We know he's a character. And fair play for them for trying it out again. But, God, I don't know if I could be trusting him. And I think there's a lovely horse in that race called Affidale Fury, obviously second in the Albert Bartlett at 150-1 behind Stay Away Faye, who's obviously won this season. And he ran okay behind Gaelic Warrior at Punchestown as well, and made a workmanlike winning return. Obviously, first start over fences at Galway over 2 miles, 6.5 at the end of last month. But, you know, 3 miles and beyond is going to be his trip, really. He's going to be a real, real stayer. The National Hunt Chase now, with how it is now, might be a race that they go with him. And he's up against Sandor Clegane, who was third in the Albert Bartlett as well. So a lot of good top staying novice hurdle form is going to be tested at the weekend. You know, Gaelic Warrior is a fascinating one. We all know that he's brilliant right-handed, but we all know what he can do left-handed as well, which has potentially cost him at Cheltenham the last twice. And this weekend it might muddy where he goes in the future rather than setting out where he's going to go. I mean, he could be great fun to watch in an RSA, a Brown Advisory novices chase as it is now. He's a character with the way he races, and he might just cause a bit of carnage at Cheltenham if he goes up that way, a bit like Asterion Falange did all those years ago in the Supreme.
Yeah, keep an eye on all that action at Punchestown. Honestly, a fantastic weekend, some exciting novice chases and novice hurdlers on show there on Saturday and Sunday. Time for the naps then. Moving into naps, I'll kick things off in the 205 at Ascot. Goshen is going to be put up at 9-4. I think Niall's going to settle this horse down. I think this horse is far better than the rest of this field. Far, far better. I can't have Sko Royal winning at 11 years old. He's been a legend, but I can't have him winning at 11 years old. Harry Cobden's obviously going there for six rides, I believe. I mean, he could go on and you know, there'll be multiples and everything with Harry Cobden in on Saturday. But I could see Niall getting along with this horse really well. I actually go back to when Jupiter De Geek ran and he won a novice hurdle on debut. He won a juvenile hurdle on debut with Jupiter De Geek and actually got this horse to settle. Jamie couldn't actually do it. And Jamie's a top quality jockey, don't get me wrong. But I can see Niall actually settling Goshen down and think we could see a really impressive display. So we'll wait and see on Saturday. But Goshen 9-4 for me. Keith, you?
Well, mine has already run because it was Jupiter Nap Goshen. They could see that one coming a mile off. So that's one of the treble now already up. But my actual nap's running at Huntingdon on Saturday. And it's such a competitive Saturday. None of the horses I fancy are giving me off that just wins vibes. So I'm taking a bit of a chance on a chasing debutant here, a horse that looked really impressive to me when it finished second at Warwick in April. And it's a horse called McLean in the 248 at Huntingdon. And just bred to make a staying chaser in time. Going to be suited by going up in trip ultimately. He's only going up a furlong here. It's not going to make that much odds. But just a horse that really does give off is the sort of horse that's going to improve as a novice chaser this season. Not an uncompetitive race by any means. But that run at Warwick, he was behind a horse called King Alexander and clear of the rest. King Alexander won his next start, then running a handicap off his revised mark and booked for second when falling. So McLean's just got really good handicap form, showed a little bit of speed at Warwick, which is always good with a horse that looks so stoutly bred when they show a little bit of speed. And I just think he could be, he's rated 118, could easily be bound for 130 plus over fences. So yeah, 248 Huntingdon on Saturday, McLean.
248 Huntingdon, McLean for Keith. And Matt, your nap.
Yeah, it's a bit of an interesting one. Obviously, Protector, I think, getting very much just towards nap territory, but I thought it'd be a little bit more inventive and go away from the main races. The 110 at Lingfield, Gordon Elliott has a runner on the all-weather. In Coachella, who was a list winner out in Dubai last year. So obviously he's a very, very good horse on his day. He hasn't really been the same in a fair few starts since, but he's been a very good course and distance second before, off a mark of official rating of 104. He's off £5 lower this time round with David Egan in the saddle. You know, he's shown good form there before. It's very much a rare, it's a bit of a nugget to have on a Saturday of action. And I'll put him up. If he replicates his Dubai form, then he could be very, very hard to beat. Absolutely. And he might
get
back out this year as well. So.
Yeah, no, look, we'll wait to see a price on that one. But yeah, I remember this horse winning in Dubai as well. That listed contest out there, quite impressive. It was a big price that day as well. Coachella in the 110 at Lingfield there on Saturday. So there we go. There are our naps for this weekend. Before we go, just quickly, what are the gents up to this weekend? Keith, what are the plans this weekend for you?
By the time you're watching this, there's a good chance I'm already in the lakes, actually, because I'm up Friends 40th up in Cumbria this weekend. So yeah, going up to see that, see if I can get the Wi-Fi to watch the Betfair Chase on my phone, and hope for the best for that.
There we go. Hopefully, yeah, you'll have an enjoyable time there. Hopefully the weather holds out for you. It looks like it should do. And Matt, what are your plans this weekend? You on course?
No, I'm not. I'm actually down at Racing Post headquarters tomorrow in the bright lights of London, and then off to hitting a few pubs with a few friends in the evening, and watching the Betfair Chase somewhere down there on Saturday, and sorting a few things out for an upcoming holiday where the weather will hopefully be a bit nicer out in the Caribbean. So just getting a few things sorted out for that one. So all busy now up till Christmas. So a nice bit of sun away for a few days won't go amiss.
That'll do it. I mean, I'll see you in the office tomorrow. Look forward to that. We'll catch up in London tomorrow. Big thanks to the gents as always. Fantastic preview, smashing through all of the ITV action. We're going to be back again next weekend for the Coral Gold Cup. I'll have a different panel on the show with me next week to preview that. Another big weekend of racing. The racing is well and jumps racing is well and truly underway. As always, like, comment, share and subscribe. And we will see you again very soon. Thanks for watching.